The scripture reading this evening is the last part, the last couple verses of 1 Kings and then 2 Kings 1. The story of Elijah continues. Elijah, his old courage, returns. Ahaziel, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria on the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, who was Ahab, and the way of his mother, who was Jezebel, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger in every way that his father had done. Now to 2 Kings 1. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziel fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria. The lattice is a window. He fell through the window in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay sick. So he sent messengers tell them, "Go inquire of Baal Zebah, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed in which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Elijah went. The messengers returned to the king, and he said to them, 'Why have you returned?' And they said to him, 'There came a man to meet us and said to us, go back to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' He said to them, 'What kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?' They answered, 'He wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist.' And he said, 'It's Elijah the Tishbite.' Then the king sent to him, that is to Elijah, a captain of 50 men with his 50. He went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'O man of God, the king says, come down.' But Elijah answered the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again the king sent to him another captain of 50 men with his 50, and he answered and said to him, 'O man of God, this is the king's order, come down quickly.' But Elijah answered him, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again the king sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and entreated him, 'O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 men with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight.' Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Joram became king in his place. In the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because Ahaziah had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So far the reading of the Holy Word of God. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, You are our holy, thrice holy God. We come before You, Lord, recognizing that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, and that You are gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. But Lord, for those who reject You, for those who despise the Lord, who have no respect unto the Lord, You are a consuming fire. O Lord, bless us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this story in the Old Testament is a story that is not very well known to us. It is a story which is difficult to look at. It's difficult to read because we know that God is gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. That God is full of grace. And yet here we have a situation in which the king of Israel, a king of God's people, pays no attention to the God of heaven, pays no attention to the covenant God who has called Israel out of Egypt, who led them through the wilderness, who provided for them, who loved them with an everlasting love. And here's one of the kings of Israel who just despises the Lord. And so we look at Ahaziah. He's a son of Ahab, very bad pedigree, son of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab is really synonymous with rebellion, with unbelief, with hatred toward God. But even Ahab, when he had a deep problem, he tore his robes when he heard God's judgment. Not Ahaziah, his son. His son is a rebellious, arrogant young man who has authority in Israel, and he is just despising God. And it's not that the Lord isn't warning him. The first warning came in the political issue. Moab rebelled against them, against Israel. David had defeated Moab. And Moab was under David's jurisdiction. And they gave to Israel every year 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams and all their wool. That was their annual tax to Israel. So it was a very lucrative possession, Moab was. But after Ahab died, Moab rebelled against them and said, "We're not going to do it anymore." And so they rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah is a young man. He's the king now in the place of his father who had died. What does he do about it? He doesn't know anything about it. He doesn't try and get that possession back. He doesn't try to get those rams and lambs and all that wool back. He just gives in and lets the enemy run over them. That's the first warning to him by the Lord. That political rebellion. But then there's a second problem. Ahaziah fell through a window in his upper chamber in Samaria and must have hurt himself very badly. We aren't told exactly what the issue was, but he ended up on his bed sick. And here's Ahaziah, a cocky, arrogant king of Israel, son of Ahab and Jezebel. He's run over by the Moabites, and he now is laying on his bed, very sick. So what does he do? He sends his visitor, his servants, he sends his servants, not to Elijah, the man of God, but he sends them to Baal-zebub, who is the god of Ekron. Now, Ekron is a city in Philistia, and that pagan god had a reputation of being able to tell the future. And so he wants to know, that is, Ahaziah wants to know whether he's going to get better or not. And so he sends his servants to Baal-zebub to inquire whether he's going to get better or not. I mean, what's going on here? Isn't there a God in Israel? And so these servants come looking for the God of Ekron to find out what's going to happen to Ahaziah. And the angel of the Lord tells Elijah, you go there. You talk to them. And you ask, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're inquiring of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? Who is the angel of the Lord? The angel of the Lord. You find this beautiful name throughout different passages in the Old Testament. And some of the best scholars in the Old Testament indicate that this is a name for the Old Testament appearance of the second person of the Trinity. The angel of the Lord. He's the messenger of the covenant. Malachi 3 says, and the messenger of the covenant shall arise. That's Jesus Christ. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is the angel of the covenant. He's the angel of the Lord. That is an Old Testament name for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes to Elijah, the angel of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, you tell the king, Ahaziah, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the king of the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Elijah went. Now, Elijah, who earlier in the story of Elijah, after Mount Carmel, he hears that Jezebel is going to make him as one of the prophets of Baal, and he runs. He's afraid. He ends up under a juniper tree, under a broom tree, and he says to the Lord, take my life, for I only am left, and they're seeking my life to take it. This is the same prophet, but his old courage is back again. The Lord gives to Elijah strength. He gives him the Holy Spirit to obey the voice of the Lord. And so Elijah, he's just renewed. He's a man of God. It's not easy. It's not easy to be a prophet of God. It's not easy. It's much easier to bring good news. Much easier. In 2 Timothy, that great book of the Apostle Paul, in the 4th chapter, he says, I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Now, what was the passion of Ahaziah? The passion of Ahaziah was that he get better. But Elijah had been given an instruction of the Lord. You tell Ahaziah that he's not going to get better. He's going to die on this bed of sickness that he's on. That's a tough message. It's not easy. It's not easy to give a message like that. And yet there, the prophecy here of the Apostle Paul, the word of him, is that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off onto myths. As for you, says Paul to Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That is the calling of a servant of the Lord. To be obedient to our sender. To be obedient to the Lord who called us to go and to bring that word. And it's not always a pleasant word. It's not always peace, peace. Sometimes a word has to be brought which is difficult. It may ruffle some feathers. It may shake us a little bit. But if it's a word from the Lord, we have to receive it as coming from the God of the covenant, the God who is faithful and just. And this word of judgment, which Elijah gave to Ahaziah, was intended to turn Ahaziah to the Lord. The purpose of God's word is to turn them to Christ, to turn them to repentance. Now, Ahaziah would have been forgiven if he had come to the Lord in humility. But you know that this is true. It's true for families, for individuals, for churches, for nations. If we follow the Lord, there will be blessing which comes. Listen, remember Solomon's prayer? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is his beautiful prayer at the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. And in verse 14 of that 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, this is what Solomon prays, giving the word of the Lord, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, my dwelling place, and I will hear their prayer, and I will heal their land." That's such a wonderful invitation. It's a calling for every one of us. We have a calling before the Lord to pray just as Solomon prayed that day. And notice that Solomon prays, "If my people who are called by my name," that's who they are, that's who we are, "if they turn from their wicked ways and repent." Do we have to repent? Everyone has to repent. There's none righteous, no, not even one. We all have to repent to the Lord. We come with empty hands for His grace. We come with a guilty heart for His forgiveness. The Lord is faithful and righteous and will forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9 is so beautiful. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that our nation has to hear that? We do individually, church-wise, community-wise. We all have to hear that we must repent to the Lord. I remember reading about a visit of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. You all heard of him? Martin Lloyd-Jones was a great preacher in London. He preached in the Westminster Chapel. And he came to the United States. And he preached in our community. And he was asked by an interviewer. And who interviewed him, he said, the interviewer asked him, "If you had 1 hour to talk to the American people, what would you say?" This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, "If I had an hour to talk to them, I would spend the first 45 minutes on saying how important it is to repent from our sins and to return to the Lord. Oh, why will ye die, O house of Israel? Turn ye to the Lord, and He will have compassion on you. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." That's a message which we certainly have to hear. There's no question about it. And that's a message that Ahaziah needed too. He had to repent. But instead, he takes the message that Elijah gives him, "You will not be healed. You're not going to get up from your bed of illness. You're going to die." So what does Ahaziah do? He sends a captain of 50 with 50 soldiers. When he found out that the man who said was reported to him was dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt, he said, "That's Elijah. That's Elijah the Tishbite. I know who that is. My dad had his fill with him. My mother couldn't stand him. And now he's after me." That's what Ahaziah says. And he says to this captain of 50s, "You go to that old prophet dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt. You tell him, come down to the king right now." And so the 50 men with their captain came and saw Elijah on a hill and said, "The king says to you, come down and come to the king." And Elijah said, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you right now." And fire came down, just as it did on Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed that God would answer his prayer and show that he is the true God. Prophets of Baal prayed to their idol, calling Baal to hear them. And of course, Baal is nothing. Well, neither is the God of Ekron, the Baal-zebub. He's nothing either. And so 50 men and their captain are charred. They're destroyed by fire. Does Ahaziah get a lesson from this? Does he realize that he's dealing not with men, but he's dealing with God himself? Not at all. A hardened guy, cocky, arrogant. So he sends another captain with his 50. And that captain with his 50, the second group, come to Elijah and said, "The king says, come down quickly. Don't you realize the king's boss over you?" And Elijah says, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down and consume you." And that's what happened again. Ahaziah still didn't learn. He is an arrogant young king who thinks he knows it all. So he sends another captain with his 50, telling Elijah to come down. Because you see, Ahaziah is not dealing with a message. He's dealing with a messenger. And he's blaming the messenger, who is Elijah, for the trouble he's facing. He blames the messenger. That's easy to do. But that's altogether wrong. Ahaziah should have taken a lesson from this. How many more times must God knock at the door and get your attention? He's hitting you with a 2x4, but you're not paying any attention to him. And so Ahaziah sends a third 50 soldiers with their captain. But that captain is probably one of the 7,000 who hasn't bowed his knee to Baal. There's still 7,000, you know, who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And so this captain with his 50 come to Elijah, and he says, "Oh, man of God, have mercy upon me and my 50 men. We come to entreat you to come down to the king." He came with humility. He came with faith. He came as a humble servant of the Lord, the captain of 50. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "You go. And I'm going with you." So the angel of the Lord accompanies Elijah with that group of 50 with their captain to go back to the king. You can just kind of see it in your mind's eye. Here's the old prophet. He is following the orders of the angel of the Lord. And he comes with the angel of the Lord to Ahaziah. What a beautiful picture that is. Elijah's old courage is back. He's not afraid. He knows the truth of what it says in Psalm 91, for example. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." That was Elijah. And he went in the power of the Lord, accompanied by the angel of the Lord. Here they go. And Elijah knew the truth of what it says in Psalm 23. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The angel of the Lord was with him. There he went to Ahaziah. Was Ahaziah humble? Oh, no way. He was the arrogant young king. And Elijah says to him, you are not going to get better. You're going to die. What you have done, you have forsaken the Lord. You're going to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to find out whether you're going to get better or not. Is there no God in Israel to whom you can go? Haven't I proved that in the past? Don't you remember the famine that came over the land for 3.5 years? Don't you remember the contest on Mount Carmel? And how the Lord answered my prayer by sending fire to the sacrifice on that mountain? Don't you remember what I did in the name of the Lord in the presence of your dad and mom? Now the call comes to you. Turn ye, oh, turn ye to the Lord before it is forever too late. You're not going to get better. But the big thing is not whether you're going to get better or not. The big thing is where you're going to spend eternity. That's the big question. With your attitude of turning away from God and going to idols to find an answer to your problem, that is opening the door of hell to you. There's no way you're going to find peace with God with that arrogance and unbelief. So that's the message that Elijah gives to Ahaziah in the presence of the angel of the Lord who's with him. And that message comes to us as well. Repent before it is forever too late. Come to the Savior now. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. You know, one day, Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. He came down from that Mount of Transfiguration. He went through a village of the Samaritans. And the Samaritans paid no attention to Jesus. And in fact, they mocked him. They turned away from him. And James and John, Peter is not mentioned, but James and John are, who had been on the mountain with him, said, Lord, shall we call down fire on those Samaritans like Elijah did? And Jesus said, no, 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 no. No, no, no. The Son of Man, the Son of God, came not to destroy life, but he came to save us. So Jesus did not accept that suggestion of James and John. That's found in Luke 9, verse 51 to 56. Jesus said, no, I did not come to destroy life. I come to save it. Isn't that a great truth? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to his own did not receive him. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right and the authority to be called children of God, who are born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but who are born of God, being saved by Jesus Christ. There is room at the cross for me, for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word out to our hearts. We thank you, O Lord, for the gospel, that there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved than that glorious name of Jesus. O Lord, if there's anyone hearing my voice today who has not repented of their sin and called upon the Lord, O Lord, may they do it at this very moment. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless us this day. Keep us in the hollow of thy hand. In Jesus' name, amen.